All right, I think we're ready to go. Very good evening to you. This is Ken, November 9, Victor Victor, located in Naperville, Illinois, near Chicago, where the temperature is 62 degrees Fahrenheit or 17 degrees centigrade for our dear friends from down under and elsewhere. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This is the 0100 Zulu session for TeamSpeak, Flex Radio, and SDR Assorted Topics, 0100 Saturday, April the 29th. And we welcome you all. We see lots more joining there, which is just wonderful. I'm operating on my Linux side of a dual boot PC tonight. And as luck would have it, I got the QA mix set up last night with the help from the fellows, and apparently the sound is okay, and you let me know if it isn't for some reason. I have just a couple of very quick announcements. As you see from my signature block, the latest beta testing version, testing only, not production, of Ubuntu has been released just this afternoon, early evening. It's beta 2 of 6.06, which I have upgraded to tonight, and so far so good. On the SDR front, I see that the source version number that's most current that I can detect is 459, and I encourage you to fire up your SVN, your favorite flavor of Rapid or Subversion, whatever you're using there, and take a look. I hope tonight that we'll get Eric, AA4SW, on to tell us something about the, yes, Bill, to tell us something about the Universal Control Board and the status of that project. I did see quite a bit of traffic about that and asking if there would be a general call to order them, perhaps as a group buy. And I know Tony had a good deal to do with the design of that board. If Tony's in this evening, we'll look forward to hearing from him as well. There was a wonderful exchange on QRP-L on that mailing list, and forgive me, I can't see it from the Linux side of the house where I am tonight, but if one of you fellows who got on QRP-L would like to comment, there is a K7 who has successfully operated AFU Nopix under VMware, running on Windows. So that's a real neat combo of code there, and presents some interesting alternatives and ideas and some exciting information for us on the PowerSDR side. Tonight, Dan has clued us in, N4XWE has clued us in to the propagation condition extension or plug-in for the Firefox browser that shows you in real time what the current A and K indexes are. And boy, that is really neat. So if anyone's interested, we'll send you to the N0HR, November 0 Hotel Romeo website, where you can find all about the propagation condition plug-in for your Firefox browser, which will be pretty nifty. All right, I'm going to take a short break. Are there any other pending announcements that need to be made right now, or is there anyone who's on a tight time schedule? Please go ahead now. Okay, nothing heard or seen, and I'll start right at the top. A very good evening to you, Bill. We are on the leading edge of best bleeding edge or whatever it is, KD5TFD, with lots to report, I hope, about three ins and four outs from N9VV in the group.
Yeah, well, let's see. Three in, four out is still working at 48 kilohertz. It works on XP at 96 kilohertz in Phil's lab, and it's not working on my Win 2000 box, and suspecting it's either an OS or a hardware issue of just not a very good quality driver, because Phil's seeing far less CPU utilization than I am, so I'm evaluating whether or not to try an XP upgrade of the 2000 box or just go get a whole damn new computer at this point. Turns out, you know, XP professional retail license is like $300, and fries tonight you could buy a a 3 gigahertz Pentium 4 for $300 with XP Home on it. And it's sort of like, eh, you can get a free computer with my operating system, so I'm not sure what route I'm going yet, but still working on that, and working on trying to clock a soft rock at 56 megahertz to get to try and get up to 20 meters from one of the DDS-60s, and having a lot of fun with that, trying little games with inverters, biased up, and have made a very interesting self-oscillator that oscillates at about 212 megahertz, which was really neat, but not what I was trying to build. So back to the drawing board on that a little bit. Back to you.
Okay, Bill, real fine. Well, as usual, you got a heck of a lot going on there, and we appreciate your upbeat report and all the good info. I'm sure that when we get down to Phil, he'll have something to say that will rattle your chain. Boy, those updates of XP or 2000 are pretty hairy. So be sure to back everything up. I'm assuming that you're one of the guys who writes a CD once a week, whether he needs it or not. He backs everything up, right? Very good.
Okay. Yeah, you're dreaming.
Boy, I'll tell you, there are horror stories at work about faculty who have lost 2 years' worth of work on a textbook because they weren't properly backed up. I won't bore you with the details, but you can imagine how frustrating it is. Eric, how you doing tonight? What's the latest on Dayton, and what's the latest on the UCB, AA4SW in the group, N9VB? Oh, okay. Well, we'll come back around to Eric for sure. Bob, if you're copying, how you doing tonight? K5KDN, and I hope it's much cooler for you in your part of the country tonight in the Austin area than it was last week when we talked. I think it was, 101 or something, from N9VV in the group.
Yeah, good evening to everybody. Good morning, as the case may be. Well, it's not exactly cool. It's in the mid-80s, I guess, and we're expecting thunderstorms momentarily. But everything's cool. I got the tower cranked down and the antennas disconnected. I spent a few hours this week chasing the elusive cat bug that several people have reported where long-term operation things just drop out. But I certainly have had no luck finding it, but I'm keeping plugging away. And I finished my CAD drawings for the new console, so tomorrow or sometime this weekend, I start whacking wood. Other than that, it's been a really nice week.
Oh, good report, Bob. Thank you. Whacking wood, huh? Oh, buddy, that sounds great. Let's see, who is it? Beppy is famous for wood box radio, right? And maybe you're getting in that mode. Well, Bob, VE3GKM is red, so we'll skip right over him, and we'll go to Chris, AE6VK, and we'll find out what wild and woolly things Chris was into this week on the programming side of the house. AE6VK to group, N9VV.
Not a whole lot programming, but I did get the smaller tantalum capacitors for the Atlas board. They came in, and I installed those, and it all seems to still work fine, and I do see the capacitance on the power line. I definitely recommend against trying to put in surface mount devices once all the connectors are in, but that's the kind of position I put myself in. Anyway, that all seems to be fine. I even have a second set of components for my next Atlas board ready. Otherwise, we've not been doing it too much. We've been having a review at work, which ended yesterday, so I'm kind of relaxing, sitting here putting together my 80-meter warbler PSK, or whatever it is, PSK-31, I guess, and looking forward to getting Phil Covington's board out next for getting UCB and FPGA going. So on that, I think that's it. Oh, one other thing. I have actually used the VMware on my Windows laptop for work at times, and that is a viable option. It's perfectly reasonable. I think that actually the VMware is either free or really low cost at this point. Okay, that's all for me.
Okay, Chris, very fine business, and I hope that the review at work went well. Fine business on your VMware experience. Yes, the player, which can play a pre-existing session, I guess, it works quite well. And the fellow who was speaking about it or typing about it on QRP-L was encouraging us all to get the free player on XP or 2000, and then download the AFU-NOPix version. And he was having really good luck with it and even provided a full config file, because the VMware config file is a little daunting if you haven't looked at it before. It's kind of weird. Very fine business on the tantalum caps and finding the right size for the Atlas board there. We'll sure look forward to more questions from others online tonight who may want to ask you more about that after the formal walk down the list here. Chuck, AF8Z, we're going to skip right over you, but you go green anytime if you have something to add there, please. And how about Dale, WA8SRA webmaster extraordinaire.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Ken, and thank you very much for the audio check earlier. Glad to know it's working, and I would also like to publicly thank Dan for hanging in to the wee hours of the morning with me this morning to get Ubuntu working with the sound card, specifically on TeamSpeak. And it appears to be working pretty well. So thanks again, Dan. Not too much to report here. Been playing around with Ubuntu during the week. It's working very well, and Ken informed me of an upgrade to Beta 2, which I will download tonight. I don't have much in the way of bandwidth, so it's probably going to take me 4 or 5 hours, but that's about all that's going on here right now.
Okay, Dale, and a caution to anybody who's thinking about upgrading. This is the beta version, right? This is not the production version. And it's not my fault, Dan. I didn't make him do it. Very fine business, Dale, and we thank you so much for your support of the web activities. Just wonderful. Dan, go ahead and pick it up and tell us what's new in your area of expertise. We certainly did enjoy the Linux session. Dan, N4XWE from N9BB in the group.
Thank you, Ken, and everyone. Yes, we've had a couple since the last Friday night, Saturday morning TeamSpeak meeting. We've had a couple of SDR Linux user group meetings, one on Sunday and one at 0100 this morning, 0100 Zua this morning, and both were very, very interesting, especially the one on Sunday. We had all of the software developers for the Linux GUIs online at the same time. I think it's the first time this ever happened. Talked about a lot of interesting things, posted an audio MP3 of the meeting. I actually had to cut it way down. I had about 5.5 hours of conversation that I edited down to a couple of hours of conversation. And from what I heard before I started recording, there was about another 3 or 4 hours before that. So it ended up being, depending upon what part of the world you were in, an all-day, all-night meeting. A couple of other comments. Bill, Newegg.com has OEM versions of Windows XP, I think, on sale for $145 right now. The only thing is you have to buy like a hard drive or a thumb drive or something that is big enough to hold the software. And I've done that a couple of times, and it's worked out really well. It's the very same package, obviously, as the regular XP. Comes in a DVD and you know, it's absolutely 100% legitimate. The last item is the Linux, the DTTSP for Linux software development team is looking for an SDN CVS manager, and it's something who will be someone who will be able to work with the Linux DTTSP code and transform it into a CVS release for SourceForge and a SDN release for our own consumption. It also requires working with people who do Linux packages. And it's a great opportunity for somebody who is interested in learning more about the code, doesn't necessarily want to be a code writer, but wants to understand the package and contribute to what we're trying to do with DTTSP for Linux. And if you're interested, I think what I'm going to do is actually post a little job description on the Reflector sometime this weekend or earlier in the week. And if you're interested, send me an email or send an email to Frank Brickle, AB2KT, and we'll take it from there. Anyway, that's about it from here. Thank you, Ken. Back to you.
Okay, very fine business, Dan. Thank you. I was snapshotting the screen here so I'd get everybody lined up tonight for record purposes. Thank you for the great report on the Linux side. Yes, it was wonderful to hear Frank speak, I believe, in last Sunday's audio, right? I was listening to that at work, and I had to listen to it three times in order to pick up on the DTTSP code and where he was going and try to understand that overall architecture. Wonderful information, absolutely fascinating. I encourage any of you who are interested in it to pick up the MP3 file that Dan had so graciously provided. It sounds terrific, very easy to understand, and you can move around in there with your MP3 listening software and pick up the pieces that you find most challenging. And we'll sure look for many more Linux sessions. There's a strong interest in that, and it's going to get more and more exciting as it ramps up and we begin to see the various modules available and some of the cottage industry coding that could very well go on. Dwayne, W5PNM is red, and Dwayne, if you feel like going green, please do so. I'll be watching for your comment. Everett, how you doing tonight? Thanks for being there. KG6RYB from N9VV.
Hello. I've just been doing a little bit with the Linux. With Dan, I'm trying to get the DTTSP driving or listening to the SDR1000 hardware. And then I'm going to try to get the Java PGUI or the Java PGUI connected up so I can control it that way. I think it'll work, but right now I think I'm having a little trouble just getting my USB sound card, my MP3 Plus working. But anyway, it's fun and something to work on this weekend. That's all for now. Thank you.
Okay, Everett, great to have you in here. You're doing some really bleeding-edge stuff, and as you're able to glue the various pieces together, we'll all be very interested in your success. So please jump in there for the next Linux session, and tell us how you did over the weekend. Gerald, it's wonderful to have you in there tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really super to see your call sign and to know that you're there listening to us. Perhaps you're having a bite of dinner or munching away on some dessert. You go right ahead. And if you have something to comment on, please, we'll be watching for your typing or your type message down below there, realizing that you don't have a mic tonight where you're currently located. Jerry, how are you doing? WB0UZW from N9VB.
Good evening, Ken, and everyone in here. Doing fine. I'm just sitting on the side taking all this in. One thing, it'd be nice if someone on the net, because I'm trying to follow this as close as I can, but what's going to be the relationship? I see that the latest console is 161 out there for the SDR, and the other 161 console, I can't think of the guys. Is it Jeff who graciously published this console that has the expanded screen and the other features? Is there a grand scheme to roll that up and at what rev level, or how's that going to play out long term? Just curious. And howdy to everyone on the net. And back to you, Ken.
Okay, Jerry, real fine. Well, to the best of my knowledge, Jeff, that's WA6AHL, Jeff's contribution is strictly his own modifications that he made for his own pleasure in operating the equipment in a particular way that he wanted to use it. And it seems that many other fellows have enjoyed using the console with his mods and his particular style. So the best idea would be for you to drop him an email and be sure to stay in close touch with him, and then watch the distribution channel that he's using there, Dale's website, and be sure that you have the latest and greatest. I don't believe there's any formal relationship or idea brewing or pending to roll it into the existing commercial product. There you go. There's Gerald is adding some information, and it's very encouraging that perhaps some of those nice features will be considered for inclusion in 1.7 if it's possible, and that would be great. We'd love to see that. Hank, we kind of skipped over the slot that you have now occupied. How are you doing tonight in Greenfield, Indiana, which I understand is the home of a famous manufacturing company that I heard about on NPR this week, and of course now I can't remember, but it sounded very interesting. K9LZJ, are you all set for the net, Hank, from N9VV in the group?
Ken, I don't know which manufacturing plant that is, the biggest one we have.
Hank, real low audio.
Is that better, Ken?
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah, the biggest manufacturing plant we have in Greenfield is a division of Eli Lilly. As a matter of fact, it's basically their laboratories that do all their toxicology studies. It's a fairly large facility with about 1,400 employees, pretty much all scientific laboratories, and a rather fascinating place. I did not catch NPR today, so I'm not too sure what that was. As far as my FDR activities, have been pretty much limited, working on rebuilding an Alpha 76 amplifier to use with my SDR. So that's where I'm going at the moment. And that's pretty much it. I really do like the new console. I've been using it quite a bit, and also have been making some more CW contacts, etc. Now I'm using my SDR probably just as a radio and just enjoying the operation. So that's a quick report from Greenfield, Indiana. Good to see everybody this evening.
Okay, Hank, thank you so much. I'll have to take a look on the NPR site and find out what company that was that they highlighted. It was of special importance, and I don't think it was because of ethanol production. I'll get back to you on that. But it was very interesting, Hank. Thanks for the report on your Alpha 76 amp. That sounds like a beauty, and we know that we're going to hear some great things from you on the net this weekend if you're able to fire that puppy up. Very good. Without delay, we'll go down under and see if the fierce storm, Category 5 storm, blew its way out and bothered no one in Keith's area. We hope. VK6XH, what's going on down there, Keith? N9VV in the group.
Yeah, good morning, Ken, in the group. And the storm up at Darwin's about 2,000 miles away from me. But unfortunately, it was right on top of my daughter who lives there. But anyway, it blew itself out. It went through. It was nothing much more than a rain-bearing depression. So they got a bit wet and a bit windy, but it certainly wasn't the Category 5 or 6 that they were talking about originally. So that was a great relief for all of us sitting down here, wondering about how she's getting on up there. Anyway, yeah, I had a few dramas during the week, a few dramas with the SDR-1000. Switching from transmit to receive, it doesn't necessarily go back into receive. It goes back into a sort of a locked mode, and switching everything off, switching it back on again. Sometimes it works straight away, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it comes up with no USB enabled, and sometimes it comes up with no port on. And then again, next time it'll work. So I had a long chat with Bill, KD5TFD, last night, and he made some suggestions about switching away from the USB connector and trying the standard standard cable instead, and also trying on reduced power, which I actually did last night. Dropped the power down to 5 watts, and sometimes it did it, sometimes it didn't. So I have a feeling I've got a bit of an RF problem getting back into the SDR. So do some more investigations this weekend. Not panicking at this stage again. Back to you. Cheers for now.
Okay, Keith. Thank you for the good reports, and glad that your relatives there or family didn't get wound up in any of the terrible weather. Fine business. No panic. No. This is the SDR 1000. It's nice and stable, and with a couple of ferrites or better grounding in the shack, you're bound to overcome whatever that might be. Very fine report from you. All right, let's see. Curb is red, but Curb will sure look forward to any comments from you in the text section, or if you're back from dinner with the XYL, go green and jump right in there. Larry, K2LT in a group from N9VV.
Yeah, good evening, gang. Just playing around with more hardware. What I would like to get a bunch of people to do is patch in the SDR receive audio into TeamSpeak on Sunday, because I don't hear anybody in Central Texas on 20 meters. I mean, it's just static, because I'm obviously they're in the first skip zone where I'm located. I'm down here in South Texas, basically just outside of Corpus Christi, Texas, on the Gulf of Mexico. So I was thinking, well, there are shortwave receivers available on the Internet, but the one that I had normally used was a fellow up near Syracuse, New York, N2JEU. He experienced some gross failures of his equipment because of a furnace malfunction that filled his house with black soot a month and a half ago. So he hasn't been able to get all of that stuff back online yet. And some of the other sites that I found didn't work out for one reason or another, so I think, well, all right, let's see if we can patch something into TeamSpeak. I mean, after all, these are radios, and they are driven by computers, and we ought to be able to tie them into the Internet. Why not? The second project is I'm trying to figure out how to make a simple interface. Larry Lowen, what's this called, W0Z, I never did figure it out. It's got questions about how can he build a simple interface or buy a simple interface to go to an amp and do push-to-talk and that sort of thing. So I'm trying to come up with something that doesn't require a printed circuit board that I can build real quick on the back of a connector and then offer to people for, you know, what the parts are and that sort of thing. So hardware. As I said, I'm a hardhead. I do hardware.
New
back
player.
To you, Ken.
Okay, real good. Well, that's a great report from you, Larry. The one thing you didn't mention was the collection of Drake equipment this week. Were you able to knock some of that stuff out during the week and send it on to its happy home?
Oh, yeah. I've been down to the post office a couple times a week. I try not to take more than 2 or 3 boxes at a time because it's a little post office and they get flummoxed when I show up with a 40-pound box that takes up half the counter. But, yeah, we're making progress. I'm into, speaking of which, I'm into an L4B amplifier, and I pulled out the 3-500Zs, and when I was looking in there before I pulled them out, I realized the pins don't go all the way down into the Johnson ceramic sockets. So I pulled out an Amperex 3-500, and those pins are almost a quarter of an inch longer, and they fully seat in the socket. So just for you amplifier folks, have you ever seen this problem with the iMac 3-500s? The pins are short enough they don't fully seat in the socket. That has nothing to do with SDR 1000s.
nonetheless, it's interesting to know about, and we can all dream about running to the hobby shop to get some of the brass tubing or copper tubing or something that you could slip over those prongs to make them a little longer and a little fatter and get a really great connection there. Very fine, Larry. I really like your call for request for someone to get on there and pipe some of their receive audio on Sunday into TeamSpeak. I think that would be terrific. I'd love to listen to the net and to finally be able to hear the net from someone's house that's able to transmit it on TeamSpeak. That'd be terrific. Sunday we'll encourage somebody to get on there and do that. Mike is red, and so is Paul, so we'll jump right over you fellas, but don't hesitate to go green if you have something to add. And we'll go to Phil Kilo 3 India Bravo. What's going on tonight, Phil? N9 VV.
Good evening to all. I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what I did to my transverter or SDR, one or the other. I normally take my output, the transverter, through a splitter and go to my 756 Pro 2 and listen while I'm also listening with the SDR. And unfortunately, a couple of nights ago, I managed to knock the microphone off the table with the SD 756 and keyed it when it hit the floor. I'm still not sure whether I've got a problem. But I did, someone earlier mentioned looking for Windows XP, and I thought I'd mention there is a site, www.ubcd, Uniform Bravo Charlie Delta for win.com, that has a thing called the Ultimate Boot CD for Win. It's kind of a freeware version of Windows XP that you can download and run as a kind of a live Windows XP. A few months back, when I was having a lot of problems with trying to install SUSE, a friend of mine sent me a CD on it, of it, in case I needed it to recover and get Windows 2000 back up and running. But fortunately, I had had the foresight to make a use partition magic and make a clone of the Windows partition. I simply copied that back, and everything was back in running shape. Other than that, I'm waiting for my CDs to come with Ubuntu, and they should arrive tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday, I hope. And we'll give that a shot probably next weekend sometime. See if that'll load System Commander, which is what we use for multi-booting on both of the main computers here. It's kind of finicky about different versions of Linux, and sometimes I have a problem with it. Sometimes Linux itself gives me a problem with my ATI FireGL card, as in the case of SUSE. I think the ATI card has a writable kind of BIOS on it, and if it gets messed up, the only alternative is to completely uninstall it and reinstall it and restart the computer. So I've got to be careful on that, since we used both of these computers for professional work, one for software and FPGA code, and the other for schematics and board layout. Anyway, that's about it from here. Unfortunately, worked right through both of the Linux Thursday and Sunday, I think it was, and remembered just in time to see everybody sign off. So I'll try again next time. That's about it. Anyway, we'll pass it back, and everyone have a good evening.
Okay, Phil, very fine business. Will you please type a message to the channel? You know, you right-click on channel up there, and you can type a text message with the URL of that particular XP version that you were recommending. Sounds very interesting. The one that I'm familiar with is BART, P-E-B-A-R-T-P-E. It's also very, very popular. Bill's got a link down there, so we'll take a look and see what that's all about. All right, Phil, VK6APH, what in the world's going on in the land of FPGAs and ADCs? No audio, Phil. Well, you're going green, but atypically with your beautiful signal, I heard nothing. Someone was asking, while Phil's getting his mic squared away there, someone was asking last week about a program that would save your sound card settings in different groups, you know, different targets, so that you could switch from TeamSpeak to SDR to whatever. And that thing turned out to be a program called, it wasn't QuickMix, was it? If one of you fellows has that particular sound card saving program, let's be sure that we get a link out for that tonight if we're able to. Phil, we're watching for you, VK6APH from N9VV.
N9VV, VK6APH. Is that audio, Ken?
Beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, I've been playing around with various sound card combinations and obviously got it in the wrong state. Well, very good evening, good morning to everyone. Productive week, I'm pleased to say. As Bill mentioned, last week we did a sign-off at the 48K USB FPGA interface to the Xylo card. Very, very good performance, good performance figures. And this week we managed to step the speed up to 96K sample rate, both in and out. And no change to the performance figures. Still getting a noise floor of minus 160 dBm. In 11 hertz FFT bandwidth, and we're getting 120 dB of dynamic range, so extremely good performance. Just a moment. I did try stepping the rate up to 192 a K sampling rate, but didn't play immediately. So a little bit of work to be done there, and I think it's in the. I don't think there's anything in the PowerSDR end we need to change. I think it's probably in my FPGA code, so I'll have a look at that during the week. But anyway, very, very good progress. I did ask a little while ago if anyone was interested in laying out a printed circuit board for what we're calling the Janus card, probably because I think the last time I laid out a printed circuit board was about 25 years ago, and in those days you used light tables and you stuck black donuts and tracks on tracing paper, so I've got a bit of a learning curve to learn this new CAD technique, and well, I'm happy to have a go, but it would be much quicker for someone who's been using these tools. And I'm delighted that Lyle, KK7P, has picked up the challenge, and in fact, he picked up the challenge last Friday, and by Monday he'd actually got a prototype PCB laid out. So we're busy checking the circuit diagram he's drawn, and also the board layout, but that's a tremendous step forward to be at the PCB stage for the Janus card. So very excited that we'll soon be able to go to prototype release of that card and check it for real. So that's this week's news. Back to you, Ken.
Okay, very fine business, Phil. Thanks for getting your microphone squared away and reset there. Wonderful news on the Xylo / Cirrus experimentation. The noise floor at minus 160 is just simply stunning, just stunning. And 100 dB on the just a beautiful dynamic range. You've made tremendous progress with that. Yeah, Bill's continuing with his efforts on the 96K side. We'll be interested to see how that all turns out for him. It's just wonderful to know that the experimentation with the FPGA code has gone so far. I guess there's still more to be done with the X2 and CPU and other activities, and we look forward very much to hearing about that. Please put in a text message, or when we get off the formal part of the net, we'll look forward to more information, Phil. Thanks so much for being there. Just wonderful to get your reports. Ron, K0IDT is red, so we'll skip over him, and we'll go right to Scott. KQ8RP, thanks for being there, Scott. Good evening to you from Ken and 9VV. Scott, you're going green, but no audio. Try again, please. Maybe you want to check your mixer? Well, you got a beautiful green dot, so you're connected, and you're doing everything right, but there's no audio coming up.
Player left.
Okay, Scott, jump in there again, will you, please? When you get some audio set up, holler at me, and I'll ask the other fellows to watch for you going green. We'll be sure to pick you up. Sergey, what's happening? VA3SB in the group, N9VV.
Good evening, Ken. Good evening, everyone. Just want to be sure that I have audio.
5x9.
Okay, great. Well, I just thought I'd get caught up on what's been going on. I've been following the various posts on the Reflector, but haven't really participated in any of the Friday night sessions or Saturday morning sessions, depending where you are. I've been out of town quite a bit, so I just thought I would take the opportunity tonight that I was home to relax in here and just listen to all of the updates. And a very good evening to everyone, and wish you all a very nice weekend. Thank you. Ken, back to you.
Oh, you bet. Thanks so much for being there. A beautiful sound tonight, and you're relaxing and doing exactly what you're supposed to do on a Friday night. That sounds great. Stan K6CC and another Stan NJ6 Echo are both red. If you fellas want to go green to make a comment, please do so. We'll be watching for you. And right down to Stu, W4MO from N9VV. Okay, nothing heard, so we'll skip over Stu. I see that Tom, AA8, Yankee India, is also red. Tom, if you want to jump in there and make a comment, please do so. And I'll ask for some help from the group. Have I missed anyone tonight? Hey, I guess we're cooking, huh? All right, very fine business. Well, you fellas, if you can help out Chuck, Chuck Alpha, Fox 8 Zulu is trying to get the extension for the propagation hooked up to Firefox, and he's having some difficulty. And he'll tell us a little bit about his system in here. We'll find out more. Watch for some text from him. All right, I think we will conclude the formal roll call portion of the net. Thank you, fellas, so very much for being there. Wonderful comments tonight. Lots of exciting things going on. Love to hear more about it. Don't hesitate to send an email message to the Flex Radio email reflector where we can all share it, particularly the fellows who are in Europe, South America, and other countries where this is an inconvenient time for them. A very good evening to you all. Have a wonderful, relaxing weekend. Lots of great SDR activity, we hope, for us all. And we'll see you in here again next Friday night. 7-3s to all from Ken N9VV. And the TeamSpeak session is now open for all comments.
Good net, Ken. And I want to offer my sympathy to Phil. I transmitted into my Tektronix spectrum analyzer a couple of years ago, and it cost me $2,200 to get it straightened out. So my wife threatened to keep the thing under the bed except for business.
very sinking feeling when you realize what you just did.
Yep, I did it with a TR-4, and now what I do when I use a synthesizer on any of the rigs, I go make sure the rig is connected to a dummy load, and that's got a 70 dB attenuator that comes into the spectrum analyzer. So far I've managed to avoid repeats. But let me tell you, your heart falls into your shoes along with your wallet.
Well, I'm not sure I did any damage. I measured the splitter, and it seems to be all right. But I haven't opened up the SDR-1000 to see if maybe we cooked the attenuator on the input. That's the only other possibility. The Petropo is no problem at all. I can still hear my test beacon, 20 watts at 316 miles. With no problem, but strangely, EME signals are down quite a bit. But it'll take a few days for the moon to get out of the direct path of the sun before I can really test it. In the meantime, I've ordered a couple of replacement SGAs just in case I took out or damaged the low noise amplifier that's in the SDR. Anyway, we'll see what happens, and then we'll continue replacing Windows with Linux. Reordering of priorities of the projects.
Well, good luck on it. Like I say, it's a disappointing feeling, I guess, is the best description. And I see one of the guys says that he did it into a scope. The analyzer, I toasted the tracking generator side of it, and they had to replace parts halfway back into the guts of the spectrum analyzer. I mean, it wasn't something that I could fix. It was all surface mount and little metal cans and very specialized semiconductors that aren't available on the open market. So I just sent it to tech and said, fix it. And $2,200 later, it came back working fine. So, all right. Good to hear everybody on tonight. Any takers on putting a receiver or a couple of receivers on TeamSpeak on Sunday?
I'm going to try if I can get my audio systems set up here. I originally wanted to be able to mix the output of the SDR with the AC97 input, the microphone input, so that I could put the SDR on the air on TeamSpeak when I wanted to, just to let people hear what minus 150 to minus 160 dBm sounds like.
Yeah, good. I've got to do a little more fiddling around here, too, with cables and sound levels, but I should be able to patch mine in also so that...
Player left.
Well, for instance, Ken was saying that he can't hear any of the people up in the Midwest, and I certainly hear them quite well, and my... blind spot, of course, is Central Texas, and there are several people with SDRs that get on, so maybe we can do a tit-for-tat, and of course we could all get on TeamSpeak instead of 20 meters, but that's not the idea of the whole thing.
Larry, very early on, this would have been late 2004, early 2005, when Eric AA4SW first set up this TeamSpeak. We had a wonderful conversation with Bodo, is it Bodo in Germany? He was on here, and the audio quality was fantastic. It was absolutely stereo, broadcast quality. And his wife asked him afterwards, well, you know, in German, of course, well, why do you need that pile of aluminum out there in the yard and all that crap that you've got when you have such a beautiful audio system on your computer?
Yeah, sometimes they don't really understand, but I love it. Well, of course, the idea is we get more schemes running, and what that allows us to do is cover more bases during emergencies. I mean, Katrina certainly demonstrated that the commercial networks, after a few hours or a few days, simply went down because they ran out of batteries, ran out of fuel, and it was back to just basic ham radio. And then local guys getting up Wi-Fi networks. So we need to get more of our digital house in order, and I'm certainly guilty of it. I haven't been on anything digital in years. But we need to be able to combine all this stuff and learn how to use it so that when the big blow comes again, and I'm sure I'll get hit one of these days, we can put the coverage back together quickly and make it handle real traffic rather than trying to read a message with a microphone. Digital seems to be the way to go for emergencies now. So, anyways, it's also fun to fiddle with.
That's assuming you have an emergency backup generator.
Player left.
Because PCs don't work too good when the electricity goes out, and pretty soon the laptops need to eat.
Well, that's a good point. And I've got a motorhome with a 70-gallon tank, and I try to keep it full, but I haven't been driving it anywhere the last few months with the price of gas, but I try to keep the tank full just against needing that generator. And there are a lot of people that are playing around with solar power stuff, and they can run their laptops and their K2s with it.
Well, there's a fellow, NI9Y, Network India 9 Yankee, Dan, who's in Mishawaka, Indiana. And Dan last year had an ice storm, suffered through an ice storm, and it took down the entire neighborhood and everything surrounding him for miles around, and they were down 4 days. His neighbors were down, the city was down, his town was down, but he was humming right along with his generator, and he was on his Sunday morning CWNet with me and his buddies, and he sounded great. He was having a good time, so it sure can be done. Yep. Well, Chuck, AF8Z is struggling with trying to get the extension into Firefox on an XP system. If one of you has propagation extension attached to Firefox on an XP platform, give Chuck a shout or type him a message there, and he would appreciate your assistance. He's having some kind of a permission problem. Of course, it could be his wireless network or what happened there in between he and the what's the name of the site there that we're trying to get to, N0HR.
Player left.
And I'm on Linux, so I can't help him out much, but maybe one of you XP fellows could help him. And you see that Bill and Phil had gone on down to the FPGA discussion channel there. So have at it.
Still no audio, Scott. Your light is on, but the audio is not working.
Can somebody remind me how to move to another channel?
Right click on the gray box.
Player left.
Chuck, this is just another idea.
New player.
I was wondering if maybe the Firefox browser was installed by a different user. Do you have more than one user on your box?
Player left. Player left.
Let's see if this works. KQ8RP. Somebody just had audio. Try it again.
Okay, very good. It's Scott here, KQ8RP out of Westerville, Ohio. Am I working now?
Yeah, loud and clear. What did you find was the problem?
And I went into control panel and into the sound thing and changed a couple things and checked the audio recorder and it worked. So this is the first time on TeamSpeak, so not sure what the problem might have been, but glad it's working now. So that's a good deal. We're a new soon to be, I guess, SDR flexor, and ordered it earlier in the week, and just waiting for it to arrive. I understand it'll be a couple weeks, so we're just trying to read up and get educated prior to it arriving. And I did go ahead and order the M Audio Delta 44 card, so. Should see that next week, get that put in, and get ready for the SDR. So hopefully we'll be ready to go by the time it gets here. Just want to say good evening, everybody, and thanks for helping me out with the audio and making sure it's working. Have a good evening, KQARP.
Well, welcome to the Flex Group, and welcome to TeamSpeak, and you are in for an exciting and exhilarating ride with the SDR-1000. It has probably the world's best receiver in it. You'll find lots of warts and things that maybe don't work the way you think they really should, but when you learn how the thing actually works and what it's doing and how it does it, you'll discover that it is truly an amazing receiver. The transmitter, of course, works equally well, but since I don't listen to transmitters while I'm talking, I can't speak as well for it, but it really is an impressive box, and it's gotten me back into engineering again in a big way, figuring out how things work and how to make interfaces for it, and I'm a hardware guy, so when these guys all start talking about software, I get lost pretty quick, but there's still plenty of hardware to play with, and what you'll find is as you operate the radio, you'll wonder how you got along without it for so long. I guess that's about the most I can say for it at the moment.
Yeah, okay, very good, Larry. Appreciate the info. I was going to ask, too, what time is the net on Sundays on 20 meters?
It's 1900 Zulu, 1900 GMT, which we here in South Texas, and I'm central time zone, is 2 p.m. 2 p.m. It's on 14329 plus or minus, but we've had pretty good luck the last few times with 14329. It doesn't seem to have any earlier nets, and after us is the 10-tech net, so we get several people from the 10-tech group that that join us too. So it's an interesting group. Yeah, what more can I say?
Yeah, okay, very good. Larry, fine business. I appreciate it. I'm radio-less right now, but may pull up Salt Lake City and see if I can hear anybody or something like that on the Internet. So I had 746 Pro I shipped off this week and an old ICOM 765. So both of them are gone, and just going to have the SDR, and I did order a mobile rig, so 857D. So that'll be I'll be in and out of the shack as well, but looking forward to getting both of them in here and putting them on the air. So anyway, have a great evening. Probably gonna walk up and see what the rest of the family's doing, and may drop back down and see what else is going on some of these other channels. Have a great weekend as well, KQ8RP.
Okay, Scott. Well, if you get something on the air, join in on Sunday. If not, give a listen. I'm trying to get somebody to put some receivers on to TeamSpeak so we can cover the country. Fill in the holes, I guess is the expression. All right. Good to meet you, and we'll keep coming back. K2LT.
You know, Larry, one of the more interesting people I've run across in ham radio over the years is K1LT, who happens to live not too far away from where Scott is. He used to live right next to Westerville. I think he recently moved down south of Columbus about 25 or 30 miles, but we need to get him interested in the SDR. He is really a good guy.
K1LT, huh? Well, I haven't run across him. Of course, mine's a vanity call, Larry Taft, and I've had it, I don't know, eight years, I guess. And, of course, I should have gotten a 5 call, but K2LT was available on the list, and I said, why not?
Player
and besides
left.
That, I'm a damn Yankee, and I want to make sure these dumbass Texans understand that.
Well, there's something to be said for that, but Vic Keen is the guy's name, and The LT actually came from the Ohio State Amateur Radio Club call as W8LT, and a bunch of guys who were involved with it over the years, and Vic was one of them, I was one of them, as were a number of other fellows. A lot of them came up with LTs. There's N8LT, Gary Grievous, not other, three or four guys that did that.
That's cute. That's cute. All right.
Player so left.
So it's a play on the famous club call. All right, sounds good. I'm going to see if I can get this L4B fired up again. There's two criteria, three actually. One, I don't kill myself. Two, I don't set fire to the place. And three, I don't destroy his amplifier. But hopefully zero out of three is my luck.